Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, good evening, good morning, or wherever you may be listening from, all over the globe. I am Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we are so excited to be with you tonight on the Living by Design show. We are kicking off a new month, Tony. We're kicking off the new month of August. Yay!
How exciting. Yeah, absolutely.
How exciting. And we have a brand new theme, which actually we're going to be doing a little bit different this month. We're going to work our theme a little bit different. The theme is letting go of holding on. But there are so many things that actually fall under that topic area, Tony. So there's so many different things that fall under things that we hold on to. We hold on to people. We hold on to jobs. We hold on to situations. We hold on. Oh, sorry about that. We hold on to lots of toxic things. So the whole purpose of the theme is to just let go of whatever it is you're holding on to that needs to leave your life, whether it's a piece of furniture or from a piece of furniture all the way up to a toxic person. So tonight we're going to focus on relationships and healthy relationships and not so healthy relationships. So I'm very, very excited to start this month's theme because it's very necessary because there are so many people who are holding on to things, jobs, and especially jobs. Tony, as you know, the August issue of Ebony Magazine with my story in it has generated hundreds of thousands of comments that are just coming from everywhere. But I tell you, it is such a blessing, Tony. It is such a blessing when your words and your story can touch someone's life and make them want to change, just to inspire them to want better and do better and have better. It's amazing, Tony.
Well, and you know, one of the things I think people fail to realize sometimes, and that's why a lot of times you want to take the time to learn and grow, is sometimes it's those words, the stories that people share, the conversations that folks have with one another that allow them the opportunity to maybe get over that hump, understand something, or maybe reveal something within themselves. So like the article that you did in Ebony, I mean, the words were strong words. The story revealed how people can actually become better by being better and caring enough about themselves to want to do better. And sometimes it's just realizing that. I mean, the thing that's hardest to realize, and I know we've talked about this on several shows, but it's all linked and related. The hardest thing to realize when it comes to loving yourself and loving and being better is to be able to recognize, first of all, the truth of what you need to do for yourself. Once you do that, that's the key to getting better.
It is. Recognition, acknowledgement. I mean, you can't fix what you don't face. So if you're always pointing fingers at other people and saying, well, they shouldn't do this or they shouldn't do that, or there, how many fingers are pointing back at you? I mean, you heard that saying so many times. So if people could just look inside themselves to find out what's not working well for me, You know, why am I unhappy with who I am? Why am I unhappy with myself and my life? Because whatever is on the inside of you is going to be given out to others and manifested outside of you. So that's where it all begins. But I want to move on with the show because I have so many questions for my fantastic guests. But before we do that, Tony, you know, we have so many announcements of events coming up. So we're going to take a quick little break here and just give you an overview of some of the upcoming events that you absolutely don't want to miss.
Have you accomplished your goals for this year? 2010 is almost coming to a close, but it's not too late to still win in 2010. Join me, Kathy Holloway Hill, and my friends and associates for an exciting lineup of events coming soon. Our Catalyst for Change workshops, our group coaching sessions, our Girlfriends for Life Regional Women's Conference, and the Steward Speakers VIP Gala, all coming soon to a city near you. Okay, take it away, Tony, and tell us about the Steward Speakers' upcoming fabulous series of events.
Steward & Associates presents the upcoming 2010-2011 Speaker Series. The season kicks off with a 25th anniversary celebration on Friday, October 15th, commemorating a quarter century of excellence. This grand gala kickoff will include a celebrity lineup of guests that you won't want to miss. And then the season begins on November 16th with Roland Martin. Guest speakers for the 2010-2011 season will include actor Hill Harper, Dr. Ben Carson, and First Lady Michelle Obama. Get your season tickets now. For details, please visit www.stewardspeakers.com. That's www.stewardspeakers.com.
Thank you for that, Mr. Tony Lamont. And for all of those events, if you want more details on every single one of those events, you can go to my emotionalbailout.com website and click on the events tab. That's emotionalbailout.com. Now, moving on with the show, Mr. Tony Lamont, we are going to introduce our guest for the evening, and I just love her to death. I actually met her on my radio show. I had her on my show, I think it was a couple of years ago. It's been a while, Tony, Miss Marla Martinson. And she is very good at what she does. She's a best-selling author, and her latest book is entitled Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker. And she has tons of knowledge, I mean tons of knowledge, in the relationship and matchmaking area. And she's going to talk to us tonight about her new book and just lots of principles and tips and tools and techniques on how to go about finding that special person. And this just fits so well with our theme of letting go of holding on, because you're not going to find Mr. Right as long as you continue to hold on to Mr. Wrong. So that's the whole purpose of our show this evening. The segment name for the show this evening is Let Go and Let Love. So we're going to bring on Miss Love herself, Marla Martinson. Welcome to the show, Marla.
Hey, Kathy. Hey, Tony.
Hello.
So glad to be with you guys again.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Well, I love the theme of your I love the theme of your show, because when you were talking about how people hold on to things, not only love but jobs and everything, I was at a job at a high-end matchmaking company for almost 7 years, and I was working myself to the bone for somebody else, you know, five days a week, 9 hours a day. So this past year I opened my own matchmaking service. So I had to let go, and I've got my own Cupid for hire now. So it's just wonderful.
You're so right. And that's why I want this theme. The entire month will be the theme of letting go of holding on. And that's why I want to have different topics under that umbrella, because there are so many things we hold on to. I mean, there could be something as simple as a pair of shoes.
Oh, absolutely.
Or an outfit. We know we can't wear that anymore, and we will never, ever see those days again where we can wear that. It may be outdated or the size is wrong. Why are we holding on to that?
Mm-hmm. And it's there's no better feeling than to clean out your closets and take a few bags to the Goodwill, and you just feel like a real spring cleaning. It feels like you've cleaned out your energy, their energy around you as well.
I tell you, I always have that feeling, Marla. I've always kind of been one of those kind of people that, you know, I'm describing right now on my show.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to hold on to clothes specifically because they hold memories.
They
and,
do.
You know,
I still have a bathrobe that belonged to my father, and he passed away. So of course I'm never going to get rid of that bathrobe.
Oh, let's not go there. I was talking about my clothes, but if you want to talk about the clothes I still have from my mother,
yeah,
they will never leave. Sorry, I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting my mother's clothes go. I can't let those go.
I know what you mean.
But if we could just get rid of some of the things, I mean, you know, we some of the things had hold sentimental value, and we may want to keep them. But just cleaning out a few things just really makes you feel so good. And I mean, and that's the low end of it. When I'm
mm-hmm.
talking about letting go of holding on, when we start getting up in the big high end, like people, jobs, toxic situations, friends, you know what I'm saying? These are main things, you know, putting your distance between family members who are toxic that are sapping your energy. So these are major things in relationships, and that's why I wanted you to come on tonight to talk about relationships, because when it comes to relationships, this is one of the most desired topics, one of the most desired things that you want in life on the planet, and that's a successful relationship. And unfortunately, what people do, Marla, you know, because you're in that industry, is they hold on to toxic relationships when they know the woman is not good for them, or they know the man is not good for them, and it's toxic, or it's abusive, or it's energy draining, or whatever the case may be, but they just hold on for so many different reasons. So I just want to kind of talk to you a little bit about, first of all, I want to hear about your book, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, how do you go about matching yourself up with the right person, especially if you're with the wrong person. And how can you recognize you're with the wrong person? And I know that may be a silly question, how can you recognize you're with the wrong person, but a lot of people don't know how to recognize when they're with the wrong person.
Right, because we're so used to known hells are sometimes preferred to unknown heavens. You know, it's like we're used to what we're used to. If we're used to being in a stressful or dramatic, a lot of drama, bad relationships, it tends to be what we gravitate towards. And I hear from a lot of women, well, I'm just, maybe I won't meet anybody else, or I'm 40 now, so, you know, I might as well stay with who I have because I might not meet somebody else. But it's not the point of meeting somebody else or not, because a lot of people they always have to be in a relationship. You don't always have to be in a relationship. It's wonderful to be out on your own. I think every woman should live on their own for at least a few years at some point in their life and know what that's like, and know that you don't need a man. You want to be in a relationship to enhance your life, where you're both two complete people coming together instead of just, oh my God, I can't be alone. So I think that fear of being on your own is what drives people to stay in bad relationships, or relationships that may be worn out. And I have a friend who called me the other day. She's been dating a guy for a year. They didn't live together, but they spent a lot of time together. And she'd give me a whole list of reasons that she shouldn't be with him, and things that she didn't like about him, and things that weren't going well. And then they broke up. And she says, oh, but I might not meet anybody else, and what should I do? And I says, yeah, but you're miserable with him. So, you know, she's thinking about going back, and I said, just sit with this. And I said, you can love him, but love him from afar. You can still wish him the best. You can still, doesn't mean you hate him, but just you can let him go, and you can move on with your life. So she's like, I know, it just hurts. I said, just give it a little time. And she's feeling better now. That was a few weeks ago. And time will take care of that.
Yeah, I always say, and, you know, I know everybody's saying, yeah, well, it's not that cut and dry. Well, it kind of is that cut and dry. There's one reason. There's one reason. Because I've been one of those people who was in a toxic relationship. And there's one reason that you should stay in a relationship. And that's simple. You're in love with the person.
Well, and if they're treating you terribly, you could be in love with them. And you shouldn't stay.
Well,
but
that's
you do.
True. That's
yeah.
true.
A lot of,
and,
a lot of
and
people.
And I guess that's the part that mystifies me. How can you be in love with someone who is mistreating you? Can you answer that question, Marla?
That's the Stockholm syndrome, when people are kidnapped and they're you know, tortured, but they're kept for years and years by somebody, and then they tend to still want to stay with their captor. And it happens. You get attached to someone, and they've got some kind of hold over you. And it could be low self-esteem. A lot of things happen, especially with women. We have that oxytocin. I can't tell you how many times it happened to me. I'd sleep with some guy, or if you just kiss him, that oxytocin's released, or you hang out with them, or they hug you, and you get attached. And they're bad, you know. Oh, in your head, the back of your head is saying, "Marla, what are you doing? He's not right for you. He's a bad boy." And you're like, "Oh, I'm in love."
so
it's kind of
so
dangerous. You got to go slower.
So the women really do believe that they're in love with the individual, even though the individual is not doing anything for them or not giving them anything that they need, not, you know, returning the love, I guess I should say. How? I mean,
yeah.
Why is that in love? Well, you just said because of the oxytocin.
Yeah, oxytocin. It's very interesting. Well, we think we're in love. I had another friend of mine. She's in her 20s, and she was dating a guy that lived down the street, and he was cute as can be, a musician and sexy, but he'd treat her like crap. He'd tell her, "Listen, you got to go home now because I want to play my guitar," or, you know, he'd call her, and then he wouldn't call her, and it was basically just, you know, treating her like dirt. But she kept going back, and she'd cry and cry and say, "No, but I love him." And I'd say, "But he treats you like a doormat." "I know, but he's so cute. He's so sexy." So she was attached. And finally, and she says, "I don't think I'll meet anyone as good as him, you know, cute as him." And then they broke up, and she was with a wonderful guy then for a year who treated her great. And then ultimately, you know, that they weren't right for each other. They split very amicably. But I said, you see how you said, you know, how you felt. But it's you got to get at some distance from that. And women do it over and over again. It's unbelievable. There are even women that go and marry convicts in prison, killers.
Well, give our listeners some tips on how to start the process of, even though you believe you're in love, and you probably are in love, and, you know, that oxytocin has you connected some kind of way, how can the listeners start trying to break that connection?
Well, you got to try to do some work on yourself. There are a lot of wonderful books. You can go to lectures. You can go to a spiritual center. You can start meditating, take some classes to learn some skills, something new, so that you feel that your self-esteem goes up, your self-worth goes up when you know that you can make your own money, when you know you have some, you know, your personality shines. Get yourself in shape if you need to start exercising, so that you have a lot of confidence and you're not putting all of your confidence and self-worth into who you're dating or who you're with. That helps a lot. Also, when you meet somebody new, a lot this in this country, since divorce is so easy and there's no shame anymore in living together or having kids out of wedlock. I mean, anything goes. So people just jump into situations without thinking, sleeping on the first date or moving in within a week, and we really don't know somebody at that point, even in 6 months. So take your time. Don't rush. Get to know somebody. If they're pressuring you and you're afraid you'll lose them, well, then that's their loss. We've got to look out for ourselves, because then we're in a situation where, oh, gosh, I didn't know him well enough. I didn't know that he was like this, that he was jealous, or that he was using drugs or whatever, that he had, you know, 5 kids stashed away somewhere in different states. And then you've got to get out of the situation and move out, and it's a big mess. So if we can take a little time, get to know somebody, even if you want to do a background check, there's a lot of dangerous people out there, so I think we need to put the brakes on a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with taking it slow, because every person that's dating, I mean, every time it's fresh and new in the beginning, we're always going to put our best foot forward. Every person does that. Everyone does that.
And yeah, they seem like a dreamboat. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you could just stick it out for a while, I mean, and it's going to vary. You know, I know people are probably thinking, what's a while? Well, it's going to vary. I mean, some people can just really stretch it out for years and be something that they're not or somebody that they're not. And then other people, I mean, their real true character comes out, you know, in a shorter period of time. So it's just really hard to say. You just really have to try to, you know, keep your emotions in check until you absolutely know that person full-blown, 100% full-blown.
Yeah, and as much as you can. Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
And that's the question I was going to ask, because that's the one thing that most folks will say. How do you really ever know? Because an individual will be Mr. Wonderful or Mrs. Wonderful or Miss Wonderful in this particular case. They can be so wonderful, and then all of a sudden something or someone shows up that you've never seen before, and it's been a long period of time, and everything seems great. So do you really, and I'm not trying to be a devil's advocate, but do you really ever know, or are there any things that you must look for at the very beginning? I mean, I think I was watching a show once, and the person said, a person will show you who they are in the first 5 minutes or whatever. You just have to know what signs to look for. I don't know if that's true or not, but is there a case, or is there a way, or are there... is there a checklist that you go through to say, okay, these are the things that I definitely need to know before I do what I need to do? I know it can't be a general across the board because we're individuals, but are there some things that may be general for individuals, that for men and women, that they could probably take a look at and go, hey, you know, these are things I definitely need to know about?
Sure. Well, for one thing, you're going to want to meet their friends. So you're going to see what kind of friends they have. How their friends speak about this person, you know, always, is he a great guy, you know, and if you can meet some of their family members and you kind of get a good idea. Also, you want to be aware, at this person's house, is their place a disaster? Is everything unorganized? Is the car filthy and a wreck? Are they, how is their spending habits? What's their credit score? Are they in debt? Do they spend recklessly? It's important for men and women, because if it's a man going to marry a woman who's going to ruin his credit and spend every penny, that's something to look out for. And for a woman, the same thing. Are they going to get evicted out of their home? Are they ever going to be able to buy a home if she wants to have a family with him? Is he responsible? Is he stable? You want to check, you know, is there any drug use? Does he get drunk, you know, too many times? So you want to look out for some basic things that if you, you know, hang around and keep your eyes open for a little while, you're going to see these very important things that later can make a huge difference. You know, how many times has he been married before? Has he, you know, a lot of things that you make your checklist on what's important for you in your life and how you conduct yourself, and you see if that matches up.
Gotcha.
Now, Marla, let me ask you, based on what you just said. Okay, let's say that two individuals meet and they're dating, and everything is going well. And then all of a sudden, let's say a couple of years into it, some silly little strange things do start rearing their ugly head, and then the real true character does start coming out. But it's not so horribly bad. It's just, well, I don't want to say just, because, you know, I don't want to minimize it. But let's say it's something similar to some past issues that they just haven't dealt with. I mean, it's not an alcoholic problem or a gambling addiction or any major thing. I don't know, abuse, no physical abuse. But let's just say there are some emotional issues that the individual hasn't dealt with, and then all of a sudden these things come to the surface and they're trying to deal with them. So how does one handle that? I mean, if the individual is clearly showing signs that they're trying to resolve their things, because they do want to be in a healthy relationship and they're clearly working on these issues, do you just say, okay, well, I don't have time to wait on you to get yourself fixed, you should have showed me that in the beginning, or what do you say about that?
Well, look, if you're in a relationship that seems healthy, he's treating you well, and something comes up and he wants to work on it, you know, I think you could stand by him and say, yeah, that's wonderful. Do you need some counseling, or you know, what can I do to be supportive? I mean, and nobody's perfect. Everybody has something, some kind
Absolutely.
Of issue. Yeah, so it's great to be supportive of each other and help each other be better in life. And my husband and I, you know, we're both creative people, so we're, you know, sometimes he could be temperamental or I could be I have no patience, and there's things about each other that we show each other and we try to get better, and you know, so it's also growing. It's growing together and being
right.
there for somebody as well. But there are limits.
There are limits. I was just going to say,
yeah.
you don't want to stretch out for years and years and years.
Yeah, and if somebody some people tend to be codependent. I was very codependent in my 20s because I came from a background of a lot of alcoholics in the family, so I felt like I had to save everybody. So I was like everybody's mother, like, well, you've got to eat this, and you can't do that, and you've got to drink enough water, and did you exercise? Did you brush your teeth? Did you, you know, I'd get on a, if I met a stranger in the street and they didn't know how to get somewhere, I'd get on a bus with them and take them there. I mean, I had, you know, it was like over the top. I had to help everybody, and in the meantime, I wasn't taking care of the things I needed to do, so I had to do a lot of work on myself to let people be, you know, and accept
That's
people the way they were.
I see a lot of that with parents. I see lots of that with parents and their children more so than, well, I guess it's equal. I see a lot of it in relationships too, but I do see a lot of it with parents. I have quite a few family members that just, I don't know if it's called codependent, but they seem to be very, I guess, involved with their adult children's decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if the adult children are doing well, they're okay, but their emotions kind of, you know, go up and down depending on the children. And I don't know if you have children or not.
I don't. No,
okay.
I don't. But I hear that, people calling in. I listen to Dr. Laura Schlesinger when I'm in the car, and people are always calling in about their kids. And, you know, my son's moving back in, or this is happening with his wife or his kids or my grandkids, and there's a lot of that going on. And she pretty much says, listen, these are grown people, and you got to let them, you know, do what they take your nose out of it and let them handle
it. Yeah, and that's I know that's a topic for another day, but that is a show topic that I want to address because I do, and again, it's part of that letting go of holding on theme because we all love our children. We all love our children. I mean, I'm kind of similar in a little bit of that myself. And, you know, I love my daughter with all my heart and soul, but, you know, it's just really hard to not be involved. And I don't really know if that will be called codependency or not, but like I said, that's a topic for another day. But as far as a love relationship, I want to talk a little bit about some of the signs that Tony mentioned. Is there a way that you can, I know 5 minutes is a little quick, Tony. I don't know what TV show that was you was looking at, but is there a way that you can recognize some signs in, say, you know, within the first 4 or 5 dates?
Well, you can tell signs like, for instance, if he's kind of a player, see, a lot of women, they're really concerned about, they're out there and they want to get married. It's like a mission for women, you know. And they'll even tell a guy on a first date or second or third, oh, if you're not serious, you know, do you want to get married? Because if you're not serious, I don't want to waste my time. And that's something that'll make a man run for the hills because he's just trying to find out if there's any chemistry and just have a good time and see if, you know, if you guys get along. But once he hears that you're, it makes the woman look as if she's just ready to lock anybody down that's serious. And that a man wants to know that he's special and she's going to love him for who he is and not just because he's ready to get married.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it kind of makes him feel. So, so just take your time and you'll see. You'll see how he reacts. Does he, when he says he's going to call, does he call? Does he cancel dates or is he late? Does he pick you up on time? Is he respectful? You know, is he respectful and does he do what he says he's going to do or does he disappearing in and out and you don't know if he's with a dozen other women or, you know, if you listen to your gut and you pay attention, you'll know exactly what's going on. But sometimes we don't want to know. I mean, I've seen women on these talk shows that married a guy that had 5 other wives and he was,
for goodness sake,
swindling them all. And I've seen that, like Oprah would have them on and then Oprah would ask, looking back, did you have any inkling? And they'd all say, well, I just didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to know. So I just really pretended nothing was going on because they felt something was not right. But because some people want to be in a relationship so badly, they'll just kind of close their eyes and close off their intuition so that they don't have to deal with that or be alone again. So,
and my opinion about that is that, and I've had both. I've had extreme, well, one, I've had, and my marriage was very toxic, and I've also experienced a tremendously, just an amazing love, you know, just something that you read about in fairy tales, and I totally understand that women want that, but what they also need to understand, everyone who's listening, is that when you look for a relationship should be, you should not look for a relationship to affirm who you are. You know, you should not look for your validation and your affirmation in someone else.
Right.
You've
and our society,
find that within yourself.
Yeah. And our society has perpetuated that fairy tale thing from when we were little girls. We read, we see the Barbie dolls and we see the read about the fairy tales and the prince coming and he's going to sweep us up and take care of everything. And it's really just a story, you know, these fables. But we, as women, even today, we think that the guy's going to come and take away our problems or solve everything. And it's just not, they don't want, that's a big burden for them.
That's right. Nobody wants, I mean, we have our own problems to solve. We just can't be therapists and solve everyone else's. Now, I always have, Marla, as you know, I have a lot of people who call in and listen to the show, and if their number is blocked, I cannot bring them on the line for a question, but, and I have tons of blocked numbers on hold that are maybe just listening, but I may have a question here with area code 310, area code 310. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I just have a quick comment. Again, this is Lance Williams and whatnot. I was listening, you know, and again, you know, I'm enjoying the show. I was going to talk about separation anxiety just for a second because, like, you know, a lot of, you know, I'm 45, and, like, a lot of women I, you know, talk to or whatever, you know, everyone has kids, but that's their main thing, like, when their child, you know, they're anxious about it when it gets time for them to go to college or whatever. I mean, they go through a thing, so then they're pressuring you to take the place of their child or whatever. Like, they're calling you too much all of a sudden. They're in your space too much all of a sudden because they were so used to their child being their whole life. A lot of times, I go to work, go home, and then, but my child, their whole life is around their child. And when their child goes away, they go into this little depression or something or whatever, and they try to feel that by just inserting, you know, the person in their life at the time, and sometimes they chase that person away because, you know, he's not your child like that. So your child was used to having you around all that time like that, but you know your man or your you know the new person in your life, you know, that's kind of overpowering sometimes. And I just wanted to insert that piece and whatnot.
Tony, you want to take that one since Lance is talking about, you know, women?
Yeah,
well,
go ahead, Tony.
Well, I would just, if I could just add, I know that's one of the challenges because I know that particularly when you have a woman that has put a lot of time into her children, and let's say, for instance, and this is not really a phenomenon, but it is going on, a lot of women who have been married, who have been in a marriage, and then all of a sudden they're getting divorced later on, and their children are now teenagers or getting ready to go to college, or they're empty nesters. That transition of all of that going on at one time is something they're not used to. So they look for someone to take that place, to fill the void. But not only that, they have this nurturing thing, and the nurturing thing. Exactly. Is about providing that nurturing or that service, taking care of someone. And a lot of guys a lot of guys aren't really looking for someone to take care of them. They're looking for someone to be with them, but they don't necessarily need for someone to take care of them or be around them all the time because it's a void in their lives. It's kind of, I totally understand what he's saying, but I really want to find out what you have to say, Marilyn.
Yeah, exactly.
This empty nest thing. So I can understand. It's like, oh, you know, my babies are leaving. You know, and you've been involved all that time, and they probably need some time. And you even if you're involved with somebody like that, you might even can talk about it and talk about those feelings. But it's understandable, and the guy might feel a little bit smothered and maybe tend to run away. But I think it's a kind of a good topic to bring up in a constructive way. And talk about those feelings, especially if you're both parents.
And see, and I agree with you, Marla, because I believe, especially Lance, and I don't know if this is an individual that you're very interested in, that has great potential, or if it's just somebody you see as just absolutely being, you know, totally codependent or totally insecure or just totally dependent on you for all of her happiness. That's not healthy. And as Marla stated, if it's something that you can work through and talk through and communicate about, that's great. But if this individual is just obsessed with having someone to fill that void, that's a problem.
Yeah, you have to find out if it's temporary and she's going to get over, you know, over that in a few months and get used to the idea, and you can share that, or if she's just is one of those people that has to have somebody around every step.
I was just trying to see how long does that last, that empty nest thing last, because like it's been a couple of months and it's gotten kind of, you know, I just did it because I said, well, she's doing that, she's compensating, so you know, I just don't answer the calls all the time when they call. I just like,
oh.
You
Lance,
know.
Does this lady have a career?
Yes, she does.
So she's busy, so that's good. So she's just like the evening.
But the bad thing about she's busy, but because of these social networking things, it's like she's not busy. I mean, I can get texts, I can get emails, I can get. It's like even though she's at work, I can still get these things. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, I'm not mad at it. You know, I can understand it.
Have you had conversations with her about it? Have you let her know that it's a little overwhelming for you?
I say it jokingly. You know, because, like, I don't know how long that stuff's supposed to last. Like, you know, like, I don't know if it's like
varies.
A morning.
It varies. It varies from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So how
like,
long
you
have you been with this lady?
What's
how
that now?
How long have you been dating this lady?
About like 3 months.
Yeah, that's very early.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Marla and Kathy and Lance, I think one of the things, too, I mean, now that you said you've been dating her for 3 months, I know
it's not exclusive, you know, we see other people or whatever, but we just have a strong kind of like, you know, and whatnot. And I was like, it was just getting overbearing, overwhelming, so I was kind of falling back a little bit, you know, because I don't know how long it's supposed to last. I said, well, maybe she'll get over it.
Well, I was just going to say, I know there's a, in any situation like that, there is a period, a mourning process that goes on, and she may be, you know, having that process or having that situation because the two of you have been relating to each other for such a short period of time. I mean, I agree. A conversation possibly could be had, and it could be a very constructive conversation. She may not even be aware that she's doing it to the level that she is. This may be her thing. This is how she shows how she cares, her nurturing, her ability to nurture, and it may be somewhat overbearing. She may have even done the same thing to her children, call them all the time and check in with them all the time and all those kinds. That may just be a behavior, but until you have that conversation or until you, you know, share your concerns, and I totally agree it has to be handled right and it has to be said correctly, because if it's done the wrong way, it's going to be more harmful than it is will be helpful.
Yeah, I agree,
right.
Tony, because habits don't just stop on their own. And Tony's right. If this is something, a behavioral type of thing that she's been doing for quite a long time, this is a habit that is totally stored and etched in her subconscious. And she may not even be aware that she's doing it. This is just part of who she is.
Because it didn't start until her child left the college. Everything was cool. And then all of a sudden when he left, I'm like, another message? They hear again? I'm, you
yeah,
know,
but
wow.
While her child, before her child left, she may have been smothering him. We don't know that. You don't know that.
Oh, wow. That's right. That's right.
That could be the case. That's why I'm saying habits are, and like Tony was saying, habits are very hard to stop. If she's been used to that behavior, then that's something that she's gonna have to stop. But Lance, I really do appreciate your question and your comments. You've been great. I do want to try to get a couple other callers that are on hold. And
I'll just listen back online. I'm enjoying this show, you guys, and I'm enjoying y'all. Y'all have a good one. That definitely helped me out.
Thanks, Lance.
Thank you so much. And if you need more, just write to info@cholloway.com.
I'll do. Have a good one, y'all. Yeah.
You too. Thank you.
Oh, and Kathy,
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wanted to mention to everybody, too, who's listening, my website, in case,
yes.
Because they can always, I have an email there, and if anybody wants to ask me any dating questions or anything, they can email me. It's MarlaMartinson.com, MarlaMartinson. And I have dating tips on the site and things like that, and information about my books.
Yes. And I also, I'm pretty sure I have a link to Marla's site on mine as well, so you can get to her many different ways.
Kathy, can I just want to ask this, get this question in real quick, because
sure.
Marla, is there a list of absolute no-nos when it comes to dating? I mean, because there are folks that say, well, if you've got an agenda of where you're going and you know what you want and you start dating someone or you start having that conversation, here are the things you need to ask up front, or here are the things you need to know up front. Are there no-nos? Are there folks that have lists? What are some of those things? Because I know a lot of people are concerned that sometimes they're overbearing, or they're not asking the right questions or looking for the right kinds of things. So are there some things that right up front they either should or shouldn't do?
Absolutely, because, you know, women do get this, like, one focus, and we just want to know. We want to know, are you on the same track as I am? Are you marriage-minded? So absolutely, you want to avoid any topic of marriage, any topic that your biological clock is ticking, or that, you know, your friends are getting married. When you're with a person that you're just dating, you don't, and a baby stroller goes by, you don't want to rush over and go, ooh, you know, like, I can't wait to have one of those. The guys are going to run for the hills, even if they are too looking for a wife. The more confident a woman can be, the more that a woman can show a man that she has this wonderful, full life outside of dating, outside of him, and she's fitting him in, and she's checking out if he's going to fit into her life and if he's good enough for her, and he's going to be interested. Men do like to chase. They do want to. They have to have that. If a woman just lays it all out, you know, here, take me, you know, I'm yours, it's just not interesting. So they really want to see that a woman has something going on for herself instead of just looking to trap a man. So that's one thing. And then when you're on the date, there's a lot of things that people nowadays are doing. For example, checking their text messages or texting during the date. I hear that all the time. Arriving late, or drinking too much on the date and then spilling their guts about their childhood problems or what medications they're on or their credit card debt or they're getting evicted from their house or their last boyfriend was an a-hole. So, you just start, oh, wow, why did you get a divorce or what happened with your last relationship? Well, let me tell you, he was a jerk and he's taking me to the cleaners and he, and then the other person's like, oh, my gosh, too much information. They're bitter. They're full of drama and they'll never call you again. And you thought, well, I was just sharing. I mean, they asked me, you know, when people ask that, they don't really want to hear a half an hour diatribe of what's going on. So it is a fine balance of just, for example, a first or second date is just seeing if you have some things in common, seeing if there's any chemistry, talk about where you like to travel, what kind of wine you like, do you like to cook, do you speak any other languages, what, you know, where did you grow up, what did you like about it, and just basic things like that and see where that leads, and then slowly you can move on. But the first date is really just to have a nice time and meet someone new and see if there's any chemistry and if you want to see each other again.
Yeah.
I just
want to take that a step further, Tony. You ask, are there some absolute no-nos? And I know you was referring to in the beginning, but I want to make a comment about some absolute yes-yeses. And this is after you, as Lance mentioned, he's been dating his young lady for 3 months. But if you've been dating someone for several months or maybe even a year, and, you know, there are some signs and some things, some absolute yes, yeses are, as Lance mentioned, he's had the conversation with the young lady, yet she's still continuing to display this behavior. If you are dating someone or you're seeing someone and you have explained to that person what you need for yourself as an individual, and you've asked that person that you need some space, if that person is willing to give you your space and back up and back away and still support you and care about you unconditionally, that's a yes, yes. If that
yes.
person is showing true confidence, that, you know, they can be, they would prefer to be with you, but they will be fine without you, that's a yes, yes. When they can accept you unconditionally and allow you to grow as an individual without having to leech on to you and whine and moan and complain, that's a yes, yes. So it goes both ways. There are lots of no-nos, but there are also lots of yes, yeses that you absolutely should pay attention to, because we all say we want to find that special someone. We want to find that special person. And I can tell you right now, from a lot of the clients and people I talk to, that is a difficult task, to find the right person for you. So when you
yes.
see those yes, yeses, please don't turn the blind eye. Please don't ignore it. Please pay attention to the no-nos and the yes, yeses. So I just had to get that in there.
That's a very, very well said. And I think Lance, since it's been 3 months since he's been seeing this lady, but he mentioned it's not exclusive. They're seeing other people, and he doesn't answer the phone. So it doesn't sound like he's head over heels with this woman. So that's a sign right there, too, that it probably won't go for long term.
And
that's sounds
because
like
she's falling into the no-no category and not the yes-yes
mm-hmm.
category.
Correct.
He's communicated to her what he needs and what is not working, but she continues to display that same behavior. So if she's willing to work with him on that, then she could potentially be a yes, yes. So, and that's why I want everyone to hear me and know that if you really, really want to try to have a good relationship, and if you really believe that this is the person for you, then you're going to have to make some internal changes, too. It's not all about what someone else can do for you. Sometimes it's about what you can do for yourself and just stepping back and allowing that person to do what they need to do for themselves.
Right.
That's what
we're not, yeah.
What they're all about is growing individually and growing together.
Yeah, and it's not all roses and, you know, daisies and roses and everything's perfect. I met my soulmate. Everything's perfect, and it's not. It's relationships have their ups and downs, and sometimes it's a love hate relationship also, because you're being shown parts of yourself that you didn't have to look at before as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it is
mm-hmm.
all about growing and learning.
That's right. And I understand. I know people get caught up in, oh, I don't want to be, you know, be old and alone, and I really just want to have somebody. But I would rather be old and alone than with somebody and miserable. And,
yes.
And I know everybody doesn't agree with that statement, but, I mean, there is nothing worse than being in a miserable situation where it's just high maintenance, and it's always something, and if it's not one thing, it's another, and
it's dangerous for our health, the stress, it's terrible, and we don't, as we get older, we don't have time to waste, like when we were in our teens, it's like you could waste 5 years on a bad relationship and get out of it and meet somebody new, but as we get older, we don't have five-year increments to waste, because that seems like 3 to 5 years seems like what we stick around for these bad relationships. It takes a while, like you were saying, to let go, even if it's not good. We tend to hang on.
And before we run out of time, because I knew this show was going to go pretty fast, I want to talk a little bit about fear, because I do believe that fear is a major deterrent from us having successful relationships. We are afraid that we're not good enough, or we're afraid that previous relationships that failed, or like you said, multiple marriages or whatever the case may be, or maybe, you know, they're ashamed of something that has happened, or they can't deal with it themselves, and they are afraid to put themselves out there and open their heart up because they feel like it's not going to work. But I want everybody to understand that fear is the most toxic emotion that you could allow to enter your life. We've got to release the fear, which is actually some of the things I wrote about in that Ebony article in the August issue on page 34, if anybody wants to go and get it. Or you can go to my website, and I have the just click on the link, and the actual article will come up, and you can see it. But fear is a major deterrent. Once you release the fear and just let go and let love in, it can mean so much for your life. Because
yes,
everybody,
and
I don't care what anybody says, everybody wants a good, successful, healthy, fulfilling, happy relationship. Everybody wants that. I believe that. I don't care if they say they don't or not. I believe that. And you have got to release the fear to let it happen.
It does. I believe that, too. It's in the two biggest things that, for example, if somebody goes and sees a psychic or wants to look at their horoscope, or goes to a therapist or something, the two major things they always want to know about is career and relationship.
That's
those
right.
are the two biggest things. And fear, which I have it, too. I mean, I work on my fear. When I was too afraid to start my own business, and people kept telling me, why don't you start your own business? Why don't you start your own business? And I was too afraid. And finally, I just said, what the heck? I'm going to jump in with both feet and try it. And it's worked out pretty well so far. But it was fear, and I've had fear around leaving relationships as well. I've been married before, and I stuck around way too long. Shouldn't have gotten married in the first place, but then stuck around 7 years. Excuse me. 7 years. So it's that fear that keeps us from experiencing wonderful things. And, hey, what's the worst that can happen? Something doesn't work out, and we try it again. So we do have to feel the fear and do it anyway, just like that book title said.
Absolutely. You have to feel the fear and learn from your previous experiences. I mean, that's what life is all about. Life brings experiences to our lives for a reason. There's a reason that we go through that, and it's meant to strengthen us and make us better and bold, not bitter and cold.
Yeah, and if we fail, I don't like to call past relationships that didn't work out as failures, or if somebody's had
Absolutely.
A few careers, I don't like them to call them failures. These are
right.
things that we went through and learned something from, hopefully. If we didn't
right.
learn anything and keep making the same mistakes, that's a big waste of time. But it's all experience, and it brings us to the next level, and look back and think, wow, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have learned this, or I wouldn't be here now, or know that.
And I'm saying this because I've talked to so many people, especially over the last few weeks, and you know, with this article, that you know they are very afraid. They are very afraid. Fear is huge. It's a huge toxic emotion. And there's so many things that we can, so many different methods and ways that we can try to move away from the fear. And for me, I always advise my clients that the easiest thing that you can do, the first step that you can do toward eliminating the fear, is just do something different. Do something outside your comfort zone. Let's say if it's related to a relationship, and if you already have someone in your life, it's a little bit easier. But if you don't have someone in your life, that makes it a little harder. But if you have someone in your life and you're afraid to take it to the next level, just do little things. Just, you know, go places and, you know, just do small things, especially if the person is willing to work with you. And if you don't have a significant person that, you know, you could work on that with, then just, you know, be willing to make friends and go out and meet people and, you know, learn about people. You don't have to jump into a relationship, but just getting over the fear to get out there and discover what life has to offer as far as meeting people. And you've got to meet people before you can possibly pursue a relationship. So those are just a few tips to get beyond the fear, because it really will hold you back and stop you dead in your tracks. And if you don't want to grow old alone, That's exactly what you're headed toward if you allow the fear to stifle your growth and hold you back.
Especially in this economy, people are afraid because they've lost their jobs or they might lose their jobs, and then they're afraid they want to be with somebody because it's a scary time. The same thing after 9/11, that's when I got into the matchmaking business, and I started working at this company just, I think, a month after 9/11, and they told me, oh, our memberships have risen dramatically because people are afraid. You know, afraid we might die, afraid something might happen, afraid, and they want to be with somebody. So it was very interesting. And I think even just going out and volunteering, people to see, there's people more unfortunate than yourself, people that are really lonely and alone and destitute or homeless even, and then we can appreciate what we have in our life, and it makes things richer and realize that we don't have to just glom on to somebody or some situation to make us feel better when we really have everything we need.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can just add, too, and I guess this is a simple illustration, but it goes back to, you know, conquering the fear or dealing with the fear. You know, the cartoons that you always see or the way that an ostrich reacts to danger is, you know, they're known to bury their head in the sand. Actually, they run away and fight if they can. But, you know, we always have heard that they'll bury their head, and if they can't see it, it can't hurt them. Well, the truth of the matter is we all know that, you know, some things that you can't see can hurt you. But what you can do is those things that you have caused you a little pain or those things that have caused you a lot of pain, if you allow yourself to stand up on that pain, you can see better than you have before instead of burying your head in the sand, and allow yourself to see the things that you've gone through, stand up on that pain so that your vision is greater and that your outcome is going to be brighter. Don't be afraid of the things you've gone through. Stand up on those things and allow yourself to see better.
I like that. Stand up on those things. I mean,
sure.
Literally,
I like that.
Stand up,
yeah.
And it'll make you taller. But you know, I just wanted to say this real quick. I was reading some statistics. I'm a big statistic person, and the number one fear in our country is public speaking, of course,
yeah.
And the number three fear is dying. So, what do you think the number two fear is? Of being alone.
Dying alone. Dying
yep.
alone.
The number two fear in this country is people are afraid of being alone. So if
mm-hmm.
you're afraid of being alone, then you've got to step out of your comfort zone and walk through the fear and have what you want.
Yeah, there's no other choice. You got to go for it. Otherwise, you
exactly.
can't. I always like to say you can't win if you don't play.
That's
you know,
right.
Sometimes my husband will say, oh, you're trying this, you're trying that, I'm putting up videos, I'm, you know, doing this radio show, I'm writing for this article, I'm doing all these things. And he sees that, you know, I don't get paid for any of these things that I'm doing, all this energy, and I'm writing, and I'm da-da-da. And I said, yeah, but something leads to other things. You can't win if you don't play. I have to throw my hat mm-hmm. in the ring, and I have to try all these different mediums, and I have to, you know, go out of town and be on this TV show and be interviewed, and I know that it's not bringing a lot of these things don't bring direct income when you might think, oh, you'll be doing more, be more productive if you channel things this way. But I kind of like to plant seeds all around and just try things, you know. Even when Oprah had her audition for Somebody's Going to Get Their Own Show, and I auditioned and I uploaded my video and I took, you know, half a day to make it and all this, and my husband said, oh, there's going to be, you know, a million people doing this. Why would you try this?
Right.
You probably won't get picked. And I said, but you can't win if you don't play. I have no chance if
right.
I don't do it.
Right.
And no, I wasn't picked, but you know, I tried it.
We're coming up on our last 60 seconds, which I knew this was going to go really fast, but I wanted to just get this in, and I'll just make this our last closing comment. Lance mentioned in the chat room that we need to love more unconditionally. Enough people don't understand how to love unconditionally. They want what they want when they want it, but it's not always about you. You have to learn to love. If there is an individual in your life who you do love, you have to learn to love unconditionally and not always look at what they're not doing right. You know, just sometimes, you know, give that person an opportunity to be who they are and don't judge them. So, you know, I wanted to get that in. And Marla, thank you so much. MarlaMartinson.com is Marla's website. Please visit her website. Please check out all of the events coming up emotionalbailout.com. And we thank you so much for joining us this evening. We're going to have to sign off for now, and this has been a fabulous conversation. Join us next week for our continuing theme of letting go, of holding on, and we will have many, many, many more announcements and gifts. And we're going to be giving away a free gift for Marla's book, her latest book. So email me. The first two people who email me will get a free copy of Marla's book. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. We're going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And
hi, everybody.
We will see you next week on the Living by Design show. Good night, everyone.